Like
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Mod State Podcast. We're back collectively.
Hey,
what's going on? Happy to have you back.
It's good to be back. Thank you for having me. It feels almost as though we're just meeting again for the first time in the locker room. And that sounded as bad as I thought it was going to.
Yeah, that sounds pretty awful, actually. But
well, I was in the Navy, but you were in the Army, so that maintains our macho appeal.
Very fair enough.
It doesn't matter. I can tell everybody, no, you don't understand. I went with Marine Infantry for 2+ years. I'm like, yeah, you were in the Navy.
All right. So,
Army just carries with it. This ain't the 40s. The Army carries a lot more national incredibility, I believe.
Maybe a machismo. I don't know. Navy's in more movies, so they're trying to create this new persona. But
Navy's everywhere,
Hey, it's good recruiting. It's good marketing. I can't blame them.
It is. I can't believe they did that TV show, The Last Ship, as realistic as it is.
Yeah.
I didn't know this. I think I brought this up before in the podcast, but I didn't know until a couple of years ago, while I was actually in 29 Palms, that it is a federal statute, actually, that they can use the uniform, obviously, to fly and whatnot, but there must be one overt mistake, at least, on the uniforms.
Huh.
And, I mean, that makes sense. But
yeah, I'd have to go back and look and see. It could be something like name tapes going the wrong way or rank.
Well, you'll see ribbons that are incorrect.
Oh, I see.
And it can be very minor. Like in Aliens, in the Army, if you know them, you can call up to a Sergeant First Class in E7, just Sergeant. I wouldn't do it day one when you meet him.
But,
for instance, with the Marines, if you remember the movie Aliens, Apone, they called him Sergeant. He's wearing a gunny's emblem on his sleeve. You would never call a gunny Sergeant, unless you wanted dental work done immediately.
Interesting.
So, stuff like that. But anyway, more useless information to follow from whenever I open my mouth later.
Well, let's just get the quick pleasantries out of the way. If you enjoy what you hear at the Mod State Podcast, head over to modstate.com for more op-ed and opinion pieces, as well as links to the podcast. Well, you're listening to the podcast somewhere, so continue to do so. But we are on YouTube now, and we're putting various recorded segments of the podcast and other videos up on the YouTube page. So head over there if you want to see our deliciously beautiful faces. And,
Well, just a quick note too here to our listeners. It's especially good to be back with you because, I mean, obviously, 7+ years of knowing you now, but also the fact that things are much more punctual and well delivered when you're calling the shots. I mean, that's why you're in charge of multimedia. But I just wanted to point that out. That it's very I've missed you. Put it to you that way.
in terms of not just
friendship, but also you've been missed in an organizational capacity. That's why we're behind, folks. The Iran/North Korea episode you recently heard from me was only about 5 days late because,
if you do remember, I did say that there was a reason to actually do that, and that was just to kind of play out the just let the dust settle and stuff like that, which I think was kind of important to do. So any sort of...
That was a good call.
Yeah, and so the response after that's not that... I think it's warranted. It's just fine.
You're the guy. I mean, obviously, you're the gentleman in charge of multimedia for a reason. You've done a terrific job thus far. Believe me, everybody tells me, many people tell me you're doing the best.
Well, thank you. Doing the best I can, so... But yeah, we've got to. Well, I appreciate you. It's great to have you back because I think the juxtaposition to views and in agreement for most of the time is what really drives the narrative on this podcast. So I'm happy and excited to dive into a few of these issues here for our international listeners today.
Yes. Hello to New Zealand,
Australia,
newfound listeners from Mexico. Yes, Australia,
all
Mexico,
over.
Sweden, and a few from the USSR.
Yeah. There's the countries that I can't really pronounce because I don't have the same alphabet as you.
And Kazakhstan.
Yeah. So,
wait, we still can't get the damn French on board. Typical French,
Come on.
Mick Jagger used to say, you know, he referenced the fact that the Rolling Stones were, they beat the Beatles head to head in sales in one country, like all time, and like while the Beatles were still a functioning band, and it was France. Huh. And Mick Jagger said, he's typical French, everyone loved the Beatles, so they couldn't.
Well, yeah. Well, we're not going to win them all. However, I think just the heads up here is we are going to talk about some domestic, United States domestic chess playing or domestic geopolitics, if you will. I don't know if that's such a thing, but we will be getting into that.
It's true.
So why don't we just dive in here? One thing, I had read an article, and this is, we're going to go over some political moves here coming up in the midterms regarding Paul Ryan and Nancy Pelosi, but I think it's important to start, and we've talked about this before on some other podcasts, and that is this idea of legal weed. Now, I think we're not just going to talk about why it should be legal, et cetera. I think we're both in agreement that it should be on a national level. However, I think what's interesting is how this, as we know, the majority, I don't even need to put a post in the show notes to say that the majority of Americans have some sort of, there's a lack of apathy towards it. I think most people are saying, hey, look, I think it should just be legal. This is ridiculous. And everyone's got their reasons as to why.
However, remember real quick that I believe you did put this in the show notes before. I know I definitely sent it to you, but I think it was Gallup, it might have been Rasmussen, but for the first time ever, the majority of registered Republicans, not representatives and senators, registered Republicans are now in favor of some form of legalization. Probably medical, but I'm going, whatever.
Yeah, and that, I think that was a Gallup poll.
It speaks volumes, though.
I should try to dig that up and put it back in here.
I've got it. I'll send it back to you.
Yeah, that sounds good. So the other article, and I think the point of this is to discuss it on a, now for the first time, for the first time that we can actually discuss this on a political strategy move or a playing field.
So right, before it was purely academic, unless you were a Democrat and living in California or the Northeast.
Yeah, exactly. So there was an article that came out, and I think it was either the New York Times or the Washington Post, and the title of the article was something along the lines of Jeff Sessions is losing the war on weed, or will lose the war on weed. And
both are true.
Yes, there are, because what I have to concede is that Jeff Sessions is not in a position where he's necessarily running for re-election. He has a job within a department that he was given and by the president, and then nominated by the president rather, and confirmed by the own Senate that he, or you know, legislative branch that he was once in.
Barely.
However,
and I'm telling you, I'll call this, I don't think he would win re-election today in Alabama.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one.
Not because of any other issues, but because of the fact that he was appointed as such as the only. If Ted Cruz had actually endorsed him at President Trump at the convention as he was supposed to, he would be your attorney general if he didn't want it. That's the reason Sessions got the job. He was the only sitting senator to do so. But since the recusal on Russia matters, because he didn't recall like half a dozen times he used to talk to Russians, so then he recused himself, his poll numbers plummeted at that point. I think Trump's base went, oh, you're dead to us. So
interesting.
I don't think – he might be Roy Moore.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. So the bottom line is that he does have quite a bit of dictation authority to have judges and prosecutors throughout the United States make a move on things like weed and prosecuting nonviolent drug offenders. Obviously, we've seen a massive. So where that sort of breaks down is this this.
Well, somebody's senator got involved.
So first off, it's a.
Oh, yours.
Yeah, it's a. So Cory Gardner of Colorado actually pushed back and said, "Listen." First off, on a political level, we're on the same team. If you want to talk about teams and being conservative, we're on the same team here. You have to remember that regardless that you are the top lawyer in the nation, you have to remember what is your political. And I don't know if this means Jeff Sessions has to throw out sort of his political ideology. However, Gardner looked back and said, "This is a states' right issue. Are you kidding me?" this is we're completely going against our political ideology. If the states, I thought that was the point, limited federal government and states' rights.
Don't you know that the only time states' rights applies is when it comes to gun control?
Apparently. And that's what's so weird about this I hate to use the word hypocrisy,
and abortion.
But it is an abortion. It is a strange thing that you can cherry pick based on your ideology. And I don't mean to sound like some dick, because I'm not saying that the left is perfect.
Well, no,
they're not.
It's true.
But it is true.
Religious, we call them cafeteria Catholics. You know, they go through the line and they pick out. When it comes to politics, but when it comes to religion.
Sure, but you can. But if you have that. Because these major issues of like morality, whether that's abortion, legal weed, etc., they do come from a place of religiosity, and whereas I think the other side of the conservative house is really this more fiscal conservative who doesn't really have that same religiosity, where they're like, look, if it's good for business, it's good for business, whereas you've got the other half that's like, well, I've got a moral issue with this, therefore I will have to cherry pick my political ideology within my political ideology in order to get what I want, which I think is sort of strange. But at the bottom line, what we're seeing now is the moderate Republican kind of stepping up and going, I don't really see why we shouldn't move forward with this. And you're seeing quite a big push from some big name senators and congressmen who on the left who are now looking to push full legalization in the United States.
And to drive a quick wedge in there for us, or a caveat, one of our associates in the publishing business who's actually kept track of this for us, but she alleges this would be the 14th time that you and I called something ahead of time on the podcast, going back to House Minority Leader Representative Nancy Pelosi, Democrat from California, was right when she said a month ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, we need to stop Trump as our campaign platform. And they were ahead of the margin of error. It was about 5.5 to 6 percentage points in a generic ballot. The Democrats were beating the Republicans. This was 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now it's less than, it's 2.5%. And that's within the margin of error. Basically, that wave, they've allowed to evaporate. And as much as it shocks me to say this, they should have listened to Pelosi.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's...
from a strategic perspective.
Yeah. So I think what...
With that.
Yeah, I think... And before getting into the Paul Ryan and Nancy Pelosi kind of thing, I do think that this legal weed, legal marijuana...
Oh, I didn't mean to do that.
No, you're fine. That... I think for the first time in our nation, we can actually see at the federal level a push that we can actually begin to politicize this issue. And I brought this up in pre-show, so I'll just put it out right now. For the first time, when you actually can feel the pulse of the public, where 64% or probably higher now, I don't know why it would decrease, says
it's higher.
I believe it's actually higher than that actual poll, but that's just me hoping and wishing.
You got ghost pollers.
Yeah, exactly.
Same people that don't want to publicly say they voted for the president. Anyway.
Yeah, so for the first time, we're, I think a candidate can actually step up and say, listen, this is beyond just allowing you to...
Get high,
life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, fulfilling your desire under what you have a right of the Constitution. But it's also a civil rights issue, that what we do know is that whites and blacks, minorities, or however you want to break it down, don't use drugs or smoke weed at any dissimilar rate. Therefore, if there's a disproportionate number of individuals being locked up for the same crime, that it's a civil rights issue. And I'm stepping up and saying it's enough. There's absolutely had enough of this, and you have too. But if you look over there, that guy over there, he gets money from corporate publicly traded private prisons. And he has no incentive at all to legalize marijuana, because that opens up beds in prisons, because we aren't putting people in the prison system, in the probation system, over and over for nonviolent drug offenses.
Go back real quick to the entire reason, the main reason why it was rendered illegal in the first place, and it was because of the liquor lobby, which ironically ties into Joseph Kennedy, you know, they still allegedly make money off of every bottle of bourbon sold in America. Point being, there's more than just the Bureau of Prisons, obviously, going on here. There's, as tying back into a previous podcast, though, the only legitimate argument I've heard, I still don't buy it, is one that I cited to you from the three different law enforcement personnel, three different states you spoke to, who said, no, like you see in a Law and Order, they'll use something like that to get someone, just so they can't get them on a capital murder charge, but, oh, hey, what about these 12 bricks of pot we found in your house? Yeah. You know, that, at least that's plausible, okay? I don't agree with it still and go, well, y'all need to find something else, okay?
Yeah, and look, there's another thing, too, that I'd like to be clear. I'm really talking about the individual user here.
That use has been proven to be proportionate.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. I think you could still, when you dangle someone's freedom in front of them for a bag of weed.
Look, let's get real, okay? You and I talked about this extensively, and we don't necessarily like to approach this as quote unquote white guys, but the reality is, when someone like Dane Wilson, who I went to boot camp with, yes, he's black, he's an African American, whatever label makes you feel better. But the fact is, deploying with the CVs into combat in the Middle East, where there were snipers about, you know, there's a naval infantry over there, and when he comes home, he writes in a column of Mod State that while he just wants to enjoy this land that his forefathers built with the sweat of their own brows, he felt safer in a combat zone in the Middle East than he does going out about, especially his children, in Philadelphia. And he meant just any big city, but that spoke volumes to me about where we are here. So there's no disputing that there's disproportionate prosecution, you know, stop and frisk. I mean, come on. You and I don't feel that same threat when we're driving about that, hey, we might just get pulled over and frisked just because. We don't. Yeah. So I understand the point there. Neither one of us are deaf to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but again, we'll see how this sort of plays out in the midterms. It may be a complete non-issue. I think it probably will be a bigger deal in the 2020 as the momentum continues to build. I don't think this is momentum that builds over a couple months very quickly. But that kind of leads us into Monsieur Paul Ryan and this potential. So for those international listeners, Paul Ryan is the majority, well, is the Speaker of the House, which is sort of like the top dog in Congress.
He's like the Prime Minister in the House of Commons.
Oh, there you go. That's
kind of sort of. He doesn't have that same natural. He's third in line to become president, but that's basically the function. I mean, like the Senate Majority Leader is, but the House Speaker is kind of like being Prime Minister if you had both.
Yeah. So anyway, Paul Ryan has had quite a bit of loss of confidence, and I guess we did sort of call it that. We've watched this sort of train wreck. I mean, we definitely don't. News track, or like, I don't want to say, how do I describe this? We're
a current events publication. We focus on macro trends. A, we don't need another news publication in the country. B, we don't have the personnel and resources, and we don't pretend to. C, we're good at what we do in terms of editorial and multimedia, focusing on the broader picture. And that's what, not only do we obviously fill that spot, but that's also internationally helpful to folks who are probably. Like my brother-in-law found, you know, he's on Reddit a lot, and he said that the big phrase that has emerged amongst European allies, and I'm not sure about New Zealand or Australia, but when somebody's getting very temperamental or agitated about an issue, they'll say, hey, whoa, don't go all American on us. I mean, that's kind of the new slang.
You know what the thing is it's kind of true. I mean, we're at the point now where there is a very, it's very hard to find the middle ground. And it's a back and forth thread. Yeah, it is what it is. And I think that's why we need to have more of this kind of discussion. And I know there's people out there that want to do it, and they are doing it. However,
let's do it. Let's see Ryan.
Let's do it. All right. So as we know, Paul Ryan has had his recent failing was he was trying to. Cut back welfare. I think SNAP specifically was that. So that's food assistance essentially to single mothers and children.
Yes.
So he was trying to cut that specific welfare program but the Freedom Caucus, which is a branch of the conservative, well, it's a branch of the conservative or Republican. I wouldn't call them Republican. They're conservative ideology.
Well, they are Republicans.
They are Republicans.
But they hold to extreme fiscal conservatism. And while I'm definitely fiscally conservative, I also find not just incorrect policy, but morally reprehensible the idea that they're okay, they were okay at least, with defaulting on the national debt simply yes. because they opposed President Obama. I'm going,
it's a strange principle, but however, they wound up...
he failed bigger than that. This last week is what really pushed this, though, when... So it was very humiliating when he introduced the farm bill.
Yeah, so this was, the SNAP was lumped into the farm bill. Or excuse me, maybe it's the other way around. It was the farm bill that was put forward, but they, what was it? They didn't.
Well, it was both.
Yeah, it was the farm bill and SNAP. However, the Freedom Caucus didn't agree with one portion of that bill and just demolished the entire thing.
And he didn't, like, his communication with Steve Scalise, who's the House Majority Whip, he's the one responsible for lining up the votes saying, hey, you know, Paul, we got him. Or, look, Paulie, we might want to delay this vote. I don't know what happened there. But the bill was rushed to the floor.
So
it was a humiliating debacle for the speaker. The latest.
Yeah, that's and what's so frustrating is as a base, let's just say as a conservative base, you're looking at this golden opportunity, this 2-year opportunity where you control the Senate and you control the House.
If you get it right, it could turn into 8 years.
It could, if they do it right. And what they're doing is just self-destructing, my friend. I mean, they did get the tax bill done.
Senator McConnell's got to be he's got to have become the biggest alcoholic since Vander left. He has to have. In God's holy name were y'all blathering about over in the House?
He just took over that spot. And of note, John Boehner, the former Speaker of the House, now a chairman on a medical marijuana?
No, sir. It's not for recreational or medical. It's a company that's going to be a mass producer in multiple states. Slips me. But basically, it's a producer. Like, think of it like somebody that's just bottling bourbon. Right.
Wow.
Kentucky. Well, he's on the board of such a company as Sloan. And the reason this is significant, no, he's not the speaker anymore, but he had to wait the obligatory, I believe it's 2 years when you leave office. But he's on K Street now, which K Street is you want to find lobbyists, step out on K Street and roll a penny. Somebody's going to come out. All right. So he's there and he is not one of, and not just Republicans, he is the most successful fundraiser in the history of the U.S. House of Representatives, and he's behind this.
Yeah,
and people are taking notice.
Which makes me roll my eyes that this was the same guy that had moral. I mean, I don't think it was.
He admitted he was wrong.
It's not. It wasn't even principled morals. It's like, look, this is the way the base. I just got these talking points. I gotta talk these points, and I gotta say no to drugs, and then you leave.
Well, he's admitted to a change of heart.
I hope it's a change of heart. I mean, maybe it was.
The guy used to cry in front of the American public.
That's true.
Whatever
it was. So, Paul Ryan. So there's a potential here for a vote of no confidence, if I understand that correctly.
That's correct.
So that would be before his term is up, as he's not seeking re-election.
Right. It's dually faceted as to why he would still finish his term as a representative. Obviously, he's opposed to any potential such move. But anyway.
What they would do is essentially elect or nominate a stronger leader in his place, whom they know will actually probably be there long term. Obviously, they've got to go back in for reelection. But you know, there's some people there that really aren't going to have much of a problem being reelected. So
again, it's multifaceted. There's more than just the name, you know, at the gavel.
Yeah, but my question then is there a leader out there who can bridge the gap between someone like the Freedom Caucus and moderate conservatives? I mean,
there is. There's two, but the first thing is the strategy behind this. Number one is ultimately not just to get. I mean, that's the number one. Okay, a name other than Ryan. If you're going to force such a vote, clearly you don't have confidence in the speaker. The other issue is, though, tactically, it would force the sitting representatives from the Democratic Party in the U.S. House, they would have to, of course, they're not going to vote for a Republican to be Speaker of the House. That goes against their own party. So, I mean, that would have to be an extraordinary circumstance.
Yeah.
But it would force them to publicly vote on a divisive issue with Democrats right now, who the mainstream media is covering for them pretty well. They're having their own crisis of confidence. And if for proof of that, just ask, you know, look into why Bernie Sanders is seeking the Democratic nomination but not accepting it when he gets it. That's another matter. But there's a whole array of problems there. But in this case, it would force the Democrats to say publicly yay or nay on Nancy Pelosi. And they don't want to do that. So it's a tactical thing, you know, for the Republicans, because like or not, it doesn't matter. But the Democrats aren't so sure that that's who they want as Speaker. They have the same problem as the Republicans, though. Okay, so who's it going to be?
So they would
have to. The list is rather short with Gowdy leading.
They would have to vote for Pelosi as well. Is that how I understand?
For somebody,
they would have to,
Vote for. They would have to pick their minority leader, essentially.
So
they're going to cast their votes for House Speaker. Well, it's not going to be for, you know, Tom, Dick, or Harry from the GOP.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to say, hey, who's it going to be? Allison, Pelosi. They would actually have to pick Peter King. Peter King doesn't want it.
Yeah.
Stephen Israel doesn't want it. He's a Republican, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, the point is, they don't want to publicly, ahead of the midterms, at least this early, because Pelosi is kind of a fundraising weapon for the Republicans.
Sure, absolutely.
When I say kind of, she really is, because they, you know, they cried about, for instance, and I say that because they did. There was a lot of moaning from she and Schumer about the Republicans forcing things down their throat without any support. Well, what happened to the Affordable Care Act?
Yeah.
You know, without a single vote. And remember, Schumer is the one that started the whole, in 07, he and Pelosi started the whole, well, we don't care what happens, we're not confirming another Bush nominee. Well, that would happen with Merrick Garland.
Yeah, it becomes quite a bit of a tit-for-tat kind of thing, unfortunately.
Right. So Pelosi is a wedge there, and the biggest issue is obviously, yeah, Pelosi is a wedge that they could use tactically, but if you're going to force a vote of no confidence with Trey Gowdy leaving, it's going to come down to your majority leader, Kevin McCarthy of California, or Steve Scalise, the majority whip, Louisiana.
Yeah.
The only one of those two, in my personal opinion, that could sway the Freedom Caucus is Scalise. McCarthy is a moderate who, remember, last time was set to be Speaker until a fellow Republican blurted out in the caucus meeting that they'd had an affair.
Yeah.
That was the week that McCarthy was the heir apparent to John Boehner, and all of a sudden, and she argued later, I think the name slips me, we need to look this up for the show notes, but you couldn't make this up. They had no animosity between them. It was just something that happened back in the day, and I don't know what she was hoping to gain, but yeah, this just came out, and it was like, but more important than that is the ideological issues that Scalise would be able to align with him. Because clearly he's been able to, well, whip up the votes for things like the tax bill, okay, and also the concision bill that President Trump, or excision bill that he wanted. He wants the, and it's true, the CRA, Congressional Review Act, allows him to reduce spending by X amount. He wants to reduce it by $15 billion. Says he's never going to sign another spending bill like the one he passed. The point being, though, that Scalise did get this done and has X amount of capital with the Freedom Caucus.
Well, then, I mean, that's a good point, because there have to be some sort of political ideological affiliation or middle ground in order to actually find somebody that, because this is the thorn in the side right now. It's literally the party there is split. And
yeah, and Gowdy's leaving.
Yeah.
He might have been I think he might have been an option. The other dark horse that the Freedom Caucus, ironically, might get behind, whereas before President Trump became president, they wouldn't have, is Devin Nunes. Unfortunately I don't think he wants it, but unfortunately for him, the Freedom Caucus, who they love President Trump, so I don't think he would get votes from anyone else.
No.
I don't think the moderates are crazy about.
No, he's done some weird stuff.
They see him as shady.
Yeah.
I'm not commenting on that. I'm just say it how it is. They seem shady in a way, the same thing that the Democrats do.
Yeah, yeah, same. So, well, beyond that, I we were going to touch on Mr. Giuliani. However, I feel as though maybe we should save that for the next podcast and touch on that, because the next podcast episode will be about a bit of Donald Trump and an Onion article, I believe.
He's saying that I went on for too long, folks, and he's right. I absorbed way too much time with that explanation. I apologize.
Absolutely not. I just like these. It seems 30 minutes seems to be working, but I would like to save a little bit of extra talk for Giuliani, because I think the mainstream media itself is doing a really good job of making this guy look like a loose cannon and a scatterbrained. However, I think that you're a source that we have and yourself don't necessarily see it that way, and I'm sort of apathetic to it, but I'll give my 2 cents.
Well, you've got some feelings on it yourself, so we'll extrapolate, folks.
Indeed. So
remember, this is the guy, he was quote-unquote America's mayor during 9/11, and I'm saying that for our international listeners. That's why this really is kind of harkens back to yesteryear, so it's a good reason. It's something to look forward to.
Indeed. So if you don't know who Giuliani is, or if you just know of him from being Donald Trump's lawyer, and that's why his face is everywhere internationally, go ahead and look him up. He was the mayor of New York during 9/11, and I think he was Time's Person of the Year after that. So he's definitely been in the spotlight, and for some good things and some weird things. But either way, we'll get into the next one. So as always, my friends, thank you for tuning in, and until next time.
Thanks for having me back. Au revoir.
We'll see you.